Whoops. Sorry. Cut him off a little bit soon there. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this Saturday morning. I think this time last week it was rather cold. Now it's probably like rather warm. For your consideration, you know, most people, they do a very good job of listening to what a doctor has to say in their recommendations, and after maybe a 5 to 15 minute consultation with a new patient and a very, very thorough examination and leaving no stone unturned and going through everything that concerns a patient's health with a fine-tooth comb, after about 5 minutes of all that, a physician can very easily prescribe a medication to lower blood pressure or apply a drug to treat kidney disease. Or, I don't know, is it predetermined that if you go to an oncologist with cancer, they're going to recommend chemotherapy? Well, I'll let you decide that. Anyway, this is for your consideration today. And what I want you to do is I want you to just think about what I'm telling you or the information that I'm reading to you for some fairly recent research. And you know what? You got to tell me if you believe this is true. I mean, I can come up with studies all day long and I can give you very factual information, but not everybody believes it. Some people have greater faith in drugs than they might in natural remedies. And you already know by listening to me, I'm incredibly biased. I am totally against drugs that destroy health and don't lead to healing. And I'm totally promoting nutrition that feeds and nourishes the body so it can heal and repair itself. This article this morning I got from Bill Sardi of Knowledge of Health, and I just think this is so simple and so easy. Anyway, the title of the article is Modern Medicine Snubs Garlic's Allicin While It Continues to Astound in Human Studies. Anyway, all he's saying is we've got so much information about garlic's ability to heal the body. And then, of course, the reason I'm reading this to you or sharing it with you is this morning I was reading about the plague that's taken a pretty good foothold on the island of Madagascar, but it's spreading to other nations. And when I say the plague, does that get the alarms to go off inside of you? Do you go, wow, the plague, didn't that kill millions of people in Europe, you know, not that long ago? Yeah, well, several hundred years ago. Anyway, but one of the greatest remedies of all time to defeat the plague is garlic. Anyway, the active principle in garlic, which is called allicin, A-L-L-I-C-I-N, if you want to look it up, it is being put to the test in human research studies and is producing health benefits unparalleled by any prescription drug. Is there any drug known that simultaneously reduces the risk for cardiovascular disease by 64%, high blood pressure by 26%, and chronic kidney disease by 32%? Is there? Well, a recently published study says that the habitual consumption of fresh, uncooked garlic, it does that. The remarkable report documenting this attracts no news headlines. That's according to the Journal of Hypertension, March 17, 2017. Instead, the National Institutes of Health is calling for an urgent scientific conference on how to adopt garlic technology into health regimens. Millions of Americans go on mindlessly taking problematic or ineffective aspirin tablets and statin drugs, while government and health authorities continue to debate on how to deliver more ineffective care to more and more people. They're having conferences on how to get people to take aspirin and statins and drugs. I saw a gentleman yesterday that's taking 6 unique but very, very powerful blood pressure medications. Only 6. I mean, doesn't that make you wonder? Okay. As you're going to learn, fresh crushed garlic, but not cooked garlic, has been shown to profoundly lower blood pressure, while blood pressure-lowering drugs taken simultaneously with garlic were marginally effective, but they had some serious side effects or some problems. That's the drugs, folks. Okay, while combinations of blood pressure-lowering drugs can induce excessively low blood pressure with resultant dizziness, you could have a fall, I don't want anybody to get dizzy and fall or lose their balance. Blood pressure medications are famous for causing confusion, blurry vision, chronic coughing that won't go away. But garlic selectively lowers blood pressure only among the people that are hypertensive. I wonder if there's a drug that can do that. In another study, garlic, or the active ingredient therein, the allicin, it was shown to non-toxically and selectively induce the death of cancer cells by a very unique mechanism that reduces glutathione. Now, glutathione is a major internal antioxidant, but when cancer cells have this antioxidant within their bodies, that helps prevent them from responding to any attempts to kill them. Does that make sense? Probably not, but if it does, think of it this way. I don't know how garlic does that. That's God's creation. There's no way you can say this about chemotherapy. All right, here we go. Here's the first study right here. This comes from Red Crescent Medicine, November 2016. It says that given the medical therapy with standard blood pressure medications is often not effective and it has many side effects like chronic cough. Did you know that blood pressure medications, a lot of them are really famous for causing zinc deficiency? They will deplete you of zinc. They're called ACE inhibitors. And from that, you get fatigue and breathing problems with beta blockers. It says patients with severe coronary artery disease who were taking five medications, and that could be statins, aspirin, blood thinners, that could be Plavix, by the way, two blood pressure lowering drugs, which is a beta blocker or ACE inhibitors. When they were given 400 milligrams of garlic powder twice a day, that means 800 milligrams total per day. That is not what I would call very much. You could probably do that in one capsule. And here's the results right here. Despite already taking all these, five medications for blood pressure, garlic, it demonstrated that it lowered the systolic and diabolic blood pressure by 12 and 4 points, 12 on the systolic and 4 on the diastolic, even though they were already on blood pressure medications. Of interest, the garlic did not significantly reduce a rise in blood pressure among subjects that didn't have high blood pressure to begin with. And so if your blood pressure is normal, you don't have anything to worry about. It's not going to lower. Isn't that interesting how something created by God works in such a fashion? Unlike drugs that can lower blood pressure, causing hypotension, garlic selectively reduces blood pressure only in subjects whose pressure was too high. That tells me it's got to be working on some principle or mechanism that exceeds our ability to understand it. Point number two. One of the things that I see with great regularity is just chronic kidney problems or kidney disease. But you know that chronic kidney disease is probably caused mainly by elevated blood pressure. I mean, there's plenty of drugs. There's antibiotics and other drugs that just wreck and destroy the kidneys. In laboratory animals where chronic kidney disease was induced, meaning they caused it to, for the purpose of experimentation, it says that garlic drove down the elevated blood pressure from 180, that would be the systolic, down to 145 after 6 weeks of use. Now, folks, those are very impressive numbers. The next time you go to the doctor and talk about your blood pressure, why don't you bring up these studies on garlic? Garlic also dramatically increased the production of internal antioxidant defenses in the body. This comes from the Journal of Oxidative Medicine and Cellular Longevity. I kind of like that idea. Cellular Longevity, 2016. He goes on to say that while garlic consumption in foods is well documented to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, and I get that from the Journal of Hypertension, March 17, 2017, so be sure and look that up, it cannot be presumed that adding garlic to spiced up foods will accomplish the same results. There is now recognition that the health-restoring properties of garlic are retained in the fresh, crushed, uncooked garlic. They're saying that heat destroys the active properties of the allicin in the garlic that we're after. This comes from the journal Nutrition and Cancer, 2016. It says that boiling garlic even reduces garlic's ability to prevent blood platelets from clumping. It comes from the journal Prostaglandins, Leukotrienes, and Essential Fatty Acids. I'm sure you have a subscription to that in $19.99. Oh, but this is the whole reason I'm reading this to you. I dig this. And here's the question. Does garlic drive a stake through the heart of cancer? Does it? Okay. Playing on the idea that garlic wards off vampires, I'm just joking, Alex DiGiorgio and Justin Stebbing, two oncologists at the Imperial College in London. And if they're oncologists, what does that mean? Well, if you're listening and you hear the term oncologist, they're involved in the treatment of cancer. But these two fellows right here at the Imperial College in London, they write about consistent reports that garlic quells cancer cells in a report entitled Driving a Stake Through the Heart of Cancer. And this was published in none other than Lancet Oncology, a very prestigious journal. Doctors DiGiorgi and Stebbing say that there are waves of dietary information and misinformation that wash over us, but they ask, can a solitary vegetable like garlic really produce dramatic health benefits? It might be difficult to shift pre-existing internal gut bacteria with one dietary tweak. They refer to garlic's ability to favorably alter gut bacteria that now appears to be at the root of so many human maladies. I know you've heard this over and over again, but health begins in the gut. If you got a lot of toxic germs living in your gut, you're not going to have good health. Remarkably, garlic kills off undesirable bacteria in the gut, while the more desirable lactobacilli, they exhibit a greater resistance to garlic. Where'd that come from? A journal called Phytomedicine, June the 3rd, 2012. Doctors DiGiorgi and Stebbing, they note that large studies, now just take this with a grain of salt, but listen to what they're saying right here. They're looking at large studies, and that's up as opposed to very small studies. That means they're getting a whole lot of people to draw the information off of. But they note that in large studies, they indicate that garlic users, they have vastly lower rates of cancer. And you're probably asking, you know, what would that number be, Dr. Morgan? Well, 70% less. Do you like that number? People that use garlic fairly regularly, they have 70% less cancer. But it says lifelong use of garlic is one thing, but the use of it therapeutically during cancer treatment is another. Now listen to this. Even more compelling evidence for garlic playing a role in cancer therapy was published last year, showing that garlic has at least 12 molecules that what they do is they dock up with breast cancer cell targets. Pharmacologists, they want to isolate these molecules and turn each one into a drug. That comes from Asia Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention. Of course they do. Are you kidding? Why can't we can't just recommend garlic to people? We're going to turn it into a drug where it's $6,000 a pop, right? They go on to write that garlic exhibits a unique non-toxic action to killing cancer cells by doing what? By depleting glutathione from the cancer cells. And folks, I'm not sure how it does this, but this is one of the major internal antioxidants of the body, but it leaves complete all your healthy cells that aren't carcinogenic, they're fine with garlic. But cancer cells, they become depleted of glutathione. I'm telling you what, we should have a whole program just devoted on this one topic right here, so you can kind of you know, seal the deal in your head that this is a powerful business here. That comes from the journal Antioxidants, December 2016. Do you know of any drug that does that? No. If you take garlic, this is what it's saying, you're depriving the cancer cells of their antioxidant system to protect their livelihood. You're just making it easier for your body to kill cancer cells. Folks, it's hard enough as it is anyway in the world that we live in, so make it easy on yourself. Now, in one study, fresh crushed garlic, they killed 80 to 90% of breast, prostate, and liver cancer cells, and they killed between 40 to 55% of colon cancer cells in a lab dish, but this was at very low dose concentrations, not high dose, but low dose. That comes from the Journal of Medicinal Food, July 2016. Many women who are offered tamoxifen, which is a drug that blocks estrogen receptors on breast cells, but few women opt to take the tamoxifen over concerns of side effects. By comparison, a breakdown of the molecule allicin, a dialyl trisulfide that actively blocks, they're just saying that cancer works even better. I mean that garlic works even better on cancer than what the drugs do. That comes from Breast Cancer Research Treatment, February 2014. Anyway, let me see. That's about it. There's probably a little bit more, but it's the idea of fresh garlic as opposed to garlic that has been cooked or changed. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you've been thinking about calling me and asking a question, now's your chance to do so. Just give me a call. Phone line is open, 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. I called you earlier this year. I'm Dr. Rick Bradley. We're the missionaries in the Ukraine. About my son had a thyroid, a lump on his thyroid.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And did everything that you said, and, of course, a lot of prayers, too. And it has not grown. Well, we had it checked. It's still the same size as it was 10 months ago.
Did I by chance talk to you about the mineral zinc?
I did. You did.
Okay.
And so we did that. We're doing that as well. But my question for you this morning is for me. How do I increase the circulation in my feet?
Walk barefooted.
Okay.
I know that may sound like a joke, but when people walk barefoot with some regularity, they have twice as many arteries and veins in their foot as somebody that does not walk barefoot.
Uh-huh.
You may find this hard to believe. I mean, I believe it, but there's some people, they actually don't even take a shower unless they have shoes on. You think that's bizarre?
Well,
I mean, do you take a shower?
Yeah, some people are afraid, especially if they're diabetic, you know, they're afraid of getting anything in their foot because they couldn't feel it, you know.
Right. No, I understand that, but they've been pumped so full of so much fear that they're worried about what if you step on something. Well, be careful and don't do that. But what you're doing is almost every issue that you have with circulation can be resolved by doing two or three things. Number one, if you had your mind set like Flint that you were going to grow some muscle in your legs, and let's just say that you started body weight exercises or calisthenics or walking, any of those activities are going to tell your body that it's got to adapt.
Right.
And it does so by growing brand new muscle. Now, I'm just making up a number here, so don't hold me to it, but what if you gain 2 pounds of muscle in each one of your legs over the next month? I think that's relatively easy to do. It's called exercise.
Sure.
But if you exercise and you grow new muscle, what does that mean you're doing? It means you're growing all brand new arteries, brand new veins, and brand new nerves and lymphatics to service that muscle.
Okay.
You know how old the arteries are if you grow new muscle? Brand new.
Brand new.
They did a study at Texas A&M University. Have you ever heard of Texas A&M?
I did undergraduate work there.
Well, you know all about the Aggies, don't you?
I do. It's probably the best. Probably the best school in Texas, maybe in this whole region, in my opinion.
I wouldn't disagree with that. But what they did was they took pigs that were about 40 to 50 pounds, And they did open heart surgery, you know, where they cut down the center of the breastbone and they cracked the rib open. And they, but what they did was they clamped off the main, one of the main arteries to the heart and just shut it off, you know, maybe the widowmaker, whatever you want to call it. And right. They sewed them back up. But what they did next is they forced these pigs to run on treadmills for 45 minutes a day for 21 days. And then after 21 days of making the pigs run on treadmills, to see what would happen, they opened them back up. And guess what happened? They completely grew new arteries around the one that was choked off or surgically cut off.
That's amazing.
Well, sometimes that's called God's bypass. And sure. So your body has that ability. You just got to make sure that it can happen. So if it were me, this is what I would look at. And I'm just being an oversimplifier.
Right.
I have read so many articles of what does it take to stimulate the body to regrow new arteries, and I would say you're looking at about an hour to an hour and a half of physical activity a day. And let's just say you want to walk for 30 minutes and spend 30 minutes doing calisthenics and 30 minutes riding a bicycle. Whatever you want to do, fine by me. But when you start hitting an hour and a half, that's when you start kind of getting over the hump and you start having a cascade of events take place where you have more hormones to promote new cell growth and new blood vessel growth and development of muscle. So I want you to consider that.
Okay.
If it were me, there's one herb I would look into. It's called hawthorn.
Okay.
Hawthorn has got to be one of the greatest medicines, natural medicines of all time, when you're trying to improve circulation.
Okay.
Of course, the article I just read on the radio before you call from Ukraine was all about garlic and how it takes stress off arteries in the heart and it kills cancer cells and infection. I really didn't read all the articles on infection, but you know where Madagascar is right now? Off the
coast of Africa. Madagascar is. I have some friends that have done mission work there.
Well, supposedly they're having a real issue with the plague.
Right.
Or the pneumonic or pneumonia plague. And they've got a whole bunch of more cases than they've ever had, and they're saying it's getting out of control. But the type of bacteria that's transmitted from fleas or from rats or from fleas to rats to fleas to humans, however that mechanism works,
right?
There's a bacteria called Yersinia pestis, and garlic has been shown to kill it more effectively than almost any antibiotic. I wonder if it's by chance when they had to find people to bury all the dead bodies during the Black Death when the bubonic plague took over. They had to release inmates, but their wages was going to be a wine that was drenched in garlic. None of them died at all. They were protected. So people that ate the garlic during the Black Death, they already survived the plague. But you can. You can completely improve your circulation. So just prayerfully consider the idea. I would gladly take any feedback. But when you first start walking barefoot around the yard or outside or in the house, yeah, your feet are probably going to be a little bit tender. Now, would you say that your job is very, very sedentary, or is it very, very physically demanding and active?
Well, I'm back in the States now. When I'm in the Ukraine, we walk everywhere. In fact, we eat garlic. We have a plate of garlic cloves on the table, and we just eat them during our meal. So
wow.
we're good with that. When I get back to the States, I'm in the car full-time traveling from church to church, you know, itinerating and giving reports on our mission work. So I'm in the car a lot. But what I'm going to probably need to do is just when I get up, you know, get up early in the morning, I'm just going to have to, wherever I'm at, just going to have to walk for an hour and a half.
That's it. That's the key.
Climb stairs or whatever I can get to,
whatever.
I can do.
You can make a workout wherever you want. Now, when you say improving circulation or you hint toward circulation, tell me exactly what you're looking at. What makes you say that you need to improve your circulation?
Well, when I was younger, I was not as intelligent, you might say, as smart as I am now, and I did a lot of mountaineering.
Are you talking about my life right now? No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm 57 Chevy. I'm 57 this year, and when I was in my 20s, I was a big adventurer, and I did a lot of mountaineering, and I've had frost nip. not bite, but frost nip in my toes. My feet have been frozen many, many times.
Oh, boy.
And so I think that I just damaged the nerves from, well, from the freezing temperatures. And I work construction, you know, year-round in the winter, you know, in buildings that were not heated.
So you've had a lot of stress and strain on your digits or your toes.
That's exactly right.
You know what I would do if it were me? Number one, I would just pay whatever you have to get a good pair of comfortable wool socks. I am completely convinced from everything that I've studied and put to the test that wool socks will be a godsend toward your toes and for their rejuvenation.
Okay. I have wool socks because we wear them in the Ukraine, you know. We've got full winter there for 3 months.
Is it a pretty bad winter, usually?
It's freezing or colder, and we can get to, of course, we're on the Celsius scale there. It's probably close to 10 below 0.
Are you
20,
serious?
20, 30 below. Pardon?
I said, are you serious? That is not the temperature that we have here in East Texas, ever.
It would be like if you lived in upstate New York or Vermont or New Hampshire or something like that. That's the same longitudinal level.
And so if you got a really bad Arctic blast, that would be like living in the Ukraine during wintertime, right?
Sure.
Well, if
only we have it, when it sets in there, it's freezing or colder for 3 months solid without a break, because our days are very short there, so it doesn't have time to warm up. Sunrise about eight in the morning, and sunset around 4 in the afternoon in the winter.
Wow, you got to be a pretty hardy person to live there, don't you?
Well, sure, but as I said, we do a lot of walking. Public transportation there, but you have to walk get to the bus stop and different things, and
there are many, many people that I've seen that have had horrible neuropathies, and I get some people that accept this and they do it, but I have very few that do it willingly. But one thing that I'll do to regrow new nerves to the toes is just dip the person's foot in a bucket of ice water for about 10 minutes a day. When your foot thinks it's freezing to death, except, I mean, it's different when you're on the side of a mountain, because you can't just escape the side of a mountain, can you?
No, you'll be in it a while, and once it sets in, it's hard to warm them back up. We had to stop and get our little stoves going and warm some water up, try to thaw them out like that. But
well, this would be a whole different ball of wax, because you're only doing it for about 10 minutes, and you can dip them in warm water whenever you want. But what happens is when you actually apply this cold, you know, to the toes, your cells release what are called heat shock proteins, and they try to rejuvenate your nerves. But if all you did, from listening to what I'm having to say, is take your morning walks barefoot around the house, you'll be strong. You'll grow new nerves.
Sure.
Give it a shot and see what happens, man.
Yeah, I'm at my mom and dad's place here, and they have a farm. We grow cats and fire ants here.
Cats so, and fire ants. Did they really make a profit last year on selling those?
We used to have cows, but my folks are almost 80 now. And they just can't keep up with it. But if I walk around in the grass here, I'll probably get by fire ants. Would that help any?
Yes, it will cause you to move faster, which will increase the rate of nerve regeneration of your toes. That's a good plan. Yeah, what I'll do is when I go to town today, I'll look for the guy that's got about 4,000 bumps on his ankles from fire ant bites. I'll know it's you, and I'll walk up to you and introduce myself.
Well, it'll make my nerves activate my nerves and my toes pretty good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course, you might use your energy trying to avoid the fire ants and the cats. Of course, I'm not worried about the cats.
No. These cats are about 60% feral. We let them, they hunt. I mean, they bring gophers in, and you name them.
Well, they're worth their weight in gold then, aren't they?
They are. In fact, when my family was here about 7 years ago, kids are outside playing, and we have copperheads and water moccasins here. And in the area where my kids were were playing, he hollered at me, and I came out, and the cats had killed a copperhead, about a 2-foot copperhead that was within 2 or 3 feet of where my kids were playing.
They and that's a big copperhead, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and so the cats saved my... I never was really big on cats, but the cats saved... They came and killed that copperhead, and so now I don't have any criticism towards them.
Boy, I feel the same way about that. They're worth their weight in gold. Well, I really appreciate your phone call this morning. I wish you the very best. Be patient with yourself. Yeah. Tell me if your feet and circulation improves greatly.
All right. I'll call you next year.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
He'll probably call me once the phone lines thaw out in the Ukraine at 10 below zero. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Please call me with a question or a comment. Sorry, the butt didn't want to push real quick. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question about the garlic.
Yes, sir.
I absolutely love garlic and can't imagine cooking without it. But what I use is minced garlic and garlic juice. Would that suffice other than, you know, squishing and fresh garlic and doing the same? I'll put this minced garlic in my salads and my green beans and everything.
Well, do you know if the minced garlic has been cooked or if it's just raw?
It's raw.
Then you're good to go. Perfect, perfect. Way to go.
Okay, good. I put it in everything because I love it. If I smell like garlic, my house smells like garlic, I just say that's God's incense. What can I say?
You know what? That's a price you pay to be healthy and productive, right?
Yes. There's a lot of other things. You mentioned last week, I got on the end of when you were talking about lupus. A friend of mine, young girlfriend of mine, has just been diagnosed, they think, with lupus, and I got on the end of your lemon juice and water. You know, nothing else, just a lemon juice and water.
Yeah, and that's just a very gentle, straightforward detox solution.
Right, and it'll kind of clean her whole system out. That garlic would be great. Mm-hmm. And the hawthorn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a bottle of hawthorn that was handed down about 3 people to me, and I didn't know. I take herbs and stuff like that, but I had no
idea. Well, how did it get to be handed down through three different people?
Nobody take it, and then I threw it away because the age of it was so old.
Oh, well, you know, herbs are like anything else. They lose their potency over time, don't they?
Yeah, and after being the third person, I thought, nah, I don't think so, but it's on my list.
Hey, can I ask
you? So I've got to talk her into the lemon juice and the hawthorn and now the garlic.
Sure.
What else can I help? My oldest sister has lupus, and she's, pardon the expression, over her expiration date.
Well, one of the problems with the lupus, let me make a comment or two, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to tell you what I think about all these things. Number one, if I had my way, I would rather people come to see me sooner rather than later.
Right.
And I still remember it like it was yesterday. I had a woman that came in a wheelchair back in the early 90s that had severe advanced lupus for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, that's my sister.
Well, and don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. I'm just telling you my observation. Well, about 5 days after she came to see me, and she just passed away of just the end result of the wear and tear on her body. It just couldn't go any longer.
Right.
It didn't have anything to do with me not being a good doctor. Or at least I don't think it did. I mean, I'm not God. I can't.
Well,
just
after
say,
20 years of lupus, it's going to wear out.
Well, and if you could only just use your imagination on how many rounds of corticosteroids and drugs and that she had been on that just wrecked her body.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one thing that I wish people could act just a little bit quicker. If we could start maybe on year one of lupus instead of year 22.
Right.
And so
now diagnosed her. They haven't decided that's what it is, but they've kind of narrowed it down the way docs do.
Well, and I'll give you just a simple thumbnail sketch of it. Number one, every case of lupus, they have a trigger. That means they are eating something that's wrecking their immune system, and I'll just kind of give you a guess.
She doesn't eat worth a damn.
It's either wheat or sugar.
Yeah, and she doesn't eat hardly anything, which can't help.
Well, and obviously...
She's a workaholic. She takes a bite when she can.
Okay, well, she's erring on the side of running herself ragged, and that's her choice. I can't. But you've got to put nutrition that heals the body in the body.
Yeah.
I would love to say this is a good plan, working yourself to death while you're just grabbing, chips and candy bars and Cokes. There's nothing.
I'd be Miss America if that were true.
Well, I'm not pursuing that, but you're correct. But anyway, you got to find out what the trigger is. It's just a simple observation. People that have lupus that get well, they're researchers.
Yes.
That means they're willing to go above and beyond what their doctor recommends and find their own cures. It's the only way it works every single time. She's got to say, number one, I'm taking my health in my own hands. I'm going above and beyond what my doctor says, and I'm going to study this for myself. And isn't it interesting that the people that actually cure themselves of lupus are the ones that probably put in about 200 to 300 hours of self-study and self-research? They read books. They go online. They read articles. So we got to find out what the trigger is. If she's eating a food that's poisoning her immune system, you just have to stop it. It's probably sugar or wheat. I'm just guessing. So if she can come to terms with that and look at herself in the mirror and say, is this going to help me get to where I want to be? The answer is no. She's got to be honest with herself. Number two, there is an organ called the spleen.
Right, I'm familiar.
The spleen never works properly in lupus, ever, ever, ever. So we may want to feed the spleen. And so one simple solution is just to take spleen extracts that come from a cow. It will not make her start mooing or eating grass, but if she takes it, it will be just enough input to help her spleen heal itself.
So the calf extract you had mentioned before?
Yeah, exactly. It's just calf.
Yeah, great.
Or if you want to say cow, I like using calf spleen just because they're pretty young. They haven't lived for 14 years in a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit cleaner, probably. So calf spleen extract is one of them.
Those four things, the calf extract and the lemon water.
Yeah,
garlic,
and all that's very easy.
And the hawthorn.
And you know what? Sometimes, here's what can happen very easily. She may just say, you know what, I can't do all that. I'll just take spleen and lemon water because I don't have to think about that. I don't have time for the rest of it. If she starts to see improvement, oh, my word, her brain may start thinking a little bit differently about this. She's going to say, you mean I can start to see progress with just a little subtle change like this? It's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, in a short time compared to.
Yeah.
And she's not going to have a lot of choice because I'm going to squeeze the lemons where I've got a machine. And so she's just going to have lemon juice on the ready.
Are you holding her at gunpoint?
Not yet.
Okay, but you're considering it, aren't you?
I talk about you, and she says, really? So she's getting more interested.
Well, and
I told her about the lemon juice and the hawthorn, and she was more interested. And now I think she'll be even more interested, especially when it's put down in front of her and said, you will eat this.
Yeah, there's like no effort on her part. You're saying, hey, sweetheart, here's a fresh lemonade, hand-squeezed.
and I love her to death. I mean...
Oh, that's good.
She's my girl. I mean, she's my best friend. And she has helped me. I'm disabled. They've decided I've got all kinds of things. I've just been to the blood, over to hematology in Tyler. I live in Mineola, 5 weeks in a row, and they got tubes the first time, and after that, they got bottles of my blood.
What did they figure out?
They haven't told me nothing.
Man,
I see the actual hematologist
next
week.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it? You mean they haven't found?
I tell you what,
I would venture a guess that if you ask them, can I please have a copy of all my labs, and all you got to do
is—that's what I'm going to do when I see the actual doctor next week.
Are you kidding me? You're smart. You're extremely intelligent. All you got to do is just look up the highs and the lows and see what they mean and come up to your own conclusion.
Well, I've got my original labs. I want to compare them to the labs they got. They need to get my A1C, which I'll get next week.
Yeah,
and they decided I'm a diabetic, and I do have COPD. It's a little late for that.
No, it's not. Who told you that?
The diabetic?
No, the COPD. It's not too late for that.
Oh, really? I've been smoking for 45 years.
Well, I mean, that doesn't help. You're right.
I like it.
And you what?
I like it.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But I did quit for 5.5 years because I was having a combination bronchial and panic attack at the same time, both of which require air, which I hadn't done. And I thought, oh, my God, if my mother comes out on her back porch and finds her daughter dead, she'll have a heart attack.
Her daughter?
And I swear, Dr. Morgan, an angel or something slapped me on the back to the point that I went forward, you know, like you do a couple of spaces.
They did the reverse Heimlich maneuver on you?
You might say.
Okay.
And I threw that cigarette down and had no withdrawal, had nothing. I quit for 5.5 years with no problem. And then when Christmas, I asked my nephew, can I light that for you? By Easter, I was gone again.
Well, you know, the Bible says that Satan disguises himself as your nephew.
Yeah.
That was really a joke. I'm sorry.
No, because my nephew does have some weirdness about him.
Well, he offered you
working with these people that live by me.
Yes,
I pray the Lord take the evil out of my immediate surroundings, my sphere, and he is doing a wonderful job.
That's a good answer to prayer.
I give praise.
Well, keep working on yourself. There's no law against that, and love rules the day.
And I'll be working on Nico, too.
Okay. Sounds like a winner, man.
I love you, Dr. Morgan.
Hey, thank you very much.
Can I call you in the office?
Yes, thank you very much, and I hope you have a great weekend and really enjoy yourself.
God bless you and everybody that you look at today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number is 903-586-5257. If only I could train my finger to push this button a little more efficiently. All right, I actually did it that time. Good morning, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dr. Morgan?
Good. You sound like you're just full of a little bit too much perk and pep and energy today.
Oh, yeah, just wait until tomorrow. And yeah, the extra hour of rest.
Oh, well, see there, you've got something to look forward to. I can finally play catch-up by 1 hour.
Well, I had called you last week and asked you to help me with my mom has Addison's disease.
Yes,
The adrenal fatigue, and you told me to call you back, and let's talk about it some more.
All right, let's tackle it piece by piece right here. Okay, the adrenal glands are a little bitty pyramid-shaped structures that sit just atop of the kidneys, but oh, are they a powerhouse. So with Addison's disease, most likely your poor mother has had her fair share of stress over a lifetime. Would that be correct?
Oh, yes.
And so there's several things that we can look at. Number one, there is a mineral called magnesium. Magnesium has proven to be very, very beneficial at helping to soothe Addison's disease. It's not a panacea, but then again, nothing else is. But what it can be, it's going to be mineral food for the adrenal glands, so I say we start feeding them. The other mineral that I look at over and over again, and let me kind of play on this just for a little bit. I'll try not to go overboard. There is a mineral called zinc, Z-I-N-C.
Okay.
Zinc has got to be one of the most critical minerals of all time when it comes to promoting healing and repair and rejuvenation. So without going into great detail, your body, by God's design, it has all these mechanisms to promote growth or healing. Any way you want to say it's fine by me. What I'm referring to is repair, repair, repair. But almost every repair enzyme in your mother's body, it requires zinc for optimal function. So all I'm suggesting is we give her the very substance that she needs for her body to repair itself.
Okay.
Number three. The other day, I was reading about Addison's disease, not because of your call. I wish I could claim that I was so intelligent that I remembered our conversation, so I stayed up on it. But I came across this article, and it was saying that the people that have Addison's disease, quite often their sleep is of very low quality.
Yes.
Is her sleep just not that great?
Absolutely not. It's awful.
And what they were suggesting in this article was where you find there's Addison's disease quite often when they do a blood serum test or just do a blood test, they find that the human hormone called melatonin is really, really subpar. And they're showing that some people that have Addison's really, really respond well to taking supplemental melatonin. But that's going to require experimentation on her part. And I'm almost positive their starting point was about 5 milligrams, which is a pretty good dose. So consider the use of melatonin to see if we can help soothe the adrenal glands where they can kind of come back to life. Now, the things that I really, really like and enjoy a lot is I like seeing tremendous change. There's one particular herb. It's called ashwagandha. Have you ever heard of that before?
I've heard it from you.
Okay. The other name of it is called withania. So ashwagandha or withania. Now, I would say there's a plant right there that tends to target soothing and healing and repairing the adrenal glands. So, oh my, do I like that stuff.
Okay.
I would venture a guess that your mother would greatly benefit by going to the store and purchasing what's called Celtic salt.
Okay.
And Celtic salt is just a raw, natural, unprocessed salt that's just going to be pure food for her adrenal glands. The other things that I want you to consider, when they take a cow to the processing plant, I'm almost positive they use every square inch of it. I don't think any of it goes to waste. Do you?
I sure hope not.
I would seriously doubt they remove the hide and say, well, there's no use for that. Are you kidding me? You ever heard of leather shoes or boots? No, they or belts. They use every bit of it. But the adrenal glands, see, this is what the Indians used to do better than anybody else. When they would kill a mule deer or an antelope or white-tailed deer, they were very, very famous in reading the older stories that they would rip the flanks open, and that would be the first thing the tribe would eat. They would take the adrenal gland and cut it 60 ways if there were 60 members of the tribe, and everybody would get like a little square of it or a little piece of it, and they would eat on the spot. But that also protected them from having disease and becoming injured and worn out and exhausted. Because if the adrenal glands play out on you, you're going to be so worn out and exhausted that you just can't see straight. And so one of the options that your mother has, she can start looking into taking adrenal glandulars. They have them everywhere.
Adrenal glandulars?
Mm-hmm. This would be like an emergency shot in her arm. It's just glandular adrenal extract. Sometimes it's called raw adrenal gland. But that will probably turn the probably in 7 days she'll tell me she's starting to become a new person. But what we've got to do is we got to get her out of this fight or flight response that she's after. See, if I walk out of the radio station and there's a pack of wild hyenas, what do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm going to say, hey guys, how are y'all doing? What's that over there? Is that a cat? And then make a run for it? No, I'm probably going to have a big honking surge of adrenaline to tell me, Roy, drop your notebook, son, and just lock the door behind you at the radio station. And that's what your mom's going through right now. Her brain is hardwired to be continually in the flight or fight response. What's supposed to happen? When you're constantly stressed, there's supposed to be a little tap on your shoulder saying, change your thoughts and change your ways. Don't get involved in that. But she's probably kind of caught in the vicious cycle. I'm not judging her. Everybody has these issues, don't they?
Yes.
Would you say that your mom deals pretty well with negative thoughts, or do you think that negative thoughts kind of rule the day?
My mom tends to gloss over things and turn them into something
you mean
comforting.
She glosses over things and turns them into something comforting?
Yes.
Could you explain that to me or give me an example?
If you need to talk about something that is negative or makes you feel bad, it's usually, sometimes she'll paint the whole conversation as if it had not been negative whatsoever when she recalls it.
Oh, or, man, I like that. That's great.
She's got some strong coping mechanisms.
I would have your mom look up what's called a slow carb diet. And I would say that's probably going to be very, very healing toward the adrenal glands.
Okay.
And so that'll help keep the blood sugar a little bit more even. It'll help her body shift gears to where she can start having a greater surge of what's called human growth hormone. And so you got to get the sugar out to get the adrenals to heal.
Okay.
She probably doesn't even like sugar anyway, does she?
Oh, she's in love with Dr. Pepper, so yeah, she's got a problem there.
Well, good news. I just heard that our president, Donald Trump, just did an executive order yesterday outlawing Dr. Peppers. I had nothing to do with that, but I mean, if he wants to do that, it's fine. So you can tell your mother you heard it's highly illegal for her to purchase Dr. Peppers or drink them. Just tell her to pop them open and pour them down the sink.
Hopefully she doesn't have any in the house right now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because, you know, probably 40 law enforcement officers will surround her house with Uzis demanding she turn over her supply of Dr. Peppers, right?
I don't know.
Well, I'll find out. I'm going to watch the. Where does she live? I'll watch the news broadcast today and see what happens.
Palestine.
Well, and you know what? I am not trying to scold a person for drinking Dr. Peppers. And you know what? I could almost care less if somebody drinks Dr. Peppers. It's their choice. Everybody chooses. But her, I think I'm kind of starting to take a special interest in her because I would like her to have a story of healing and a testimony of overcoming and not to be controlled by something. But the Dr. Peppers, they're just whipping and beating her poor adrenal glands to where they're never going to recover.
Yeah.
You know what the lady told me yesterday?
What?
This is about 6 o'clock, 6:15 yesterday. She looked at me with glazed eyes and talked about her love for alcoholic beverages and wine and how she... I'm not saying she was addicted to alcohol. I'm not even saying she was an alcoholic, but she stared at me eye to eye, and I was engaging her in conversation, and she was saying, I really resisted you, Dr. Morgan, when you recommended I try kombucha. And I say, yes, you're the first person that's resisted my great recommendations. But when she said, you know what, I thought you were nuts, and I couldn't believe that I hated what you recommended, but now I'm addicted to it. I'm saying, really? So how much do you have in the car right now? She said, my whole back seat is filled up with bottles of kombucha. And anyway, she was saying that kombucha is replacing the wine in her life and the alcohol and probably Dr. Peppers and Pepsis. So maybe your mom could make a switch to drinking kombucha or kefir water. But this lady was telling me the bubbly fizziness is what's so attractive to her. So she remembers drinking Coca-Cola as a child. It's just the bubbly effervescence that was very appealing to her stomach. So maybe your mama can switch to kombucha or kefir water.
Maybe.
You ever heard of a store called Walmart?
Oh, sure.
I've heard they have a really small country one in Palestine, Texas. So she could probably go back to the produce department where they have the refrigerated drinks and find all the kombucha she wants.
I sure hope so. If not, I know where I can find it here.
That's right. Anyway, so you can think about those things. But give my mom all your love, and I hope she makes a good improvement. And I can tell you what I think. If she's got Addison's disease, that's going to take about a year to get over. I could be wrong about that, but it just when you've been down this long, how long has she been out of commission for?
Well, they've been talking about her having Addison's for about 3 or 4 years now. And it took forever to have people even decide that she had adrenal fatigue. And anyway,
was that pretty maddening going through all that?
Yes, because a lot of times people don't you know, you see all the things that are a symptom and they diagnose the symptoms as a bunch of different things. But then to find out that the baseline was the adrenal problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why didn't somebody pick up on this years ago?
Oh, I know. And you know what? I deal with this every single day, day in, day out. The man yesterday, all he wanted to do was just do one simple blood test. He said, could you just check my kidney function? And they're going, well, no, we're just going to check your potassium. He said, well, what would you do if it were you and you had kidney problems? Would you want somebody to measure you? And, of course, there was no response from the nurse. But he tried about six different ways to get the sweet, adorable thoughtful, kind, considerate nurse just to order kidney function. I mean, they're drawing blood anyway. He tried every technique that he could, and she still refused. And you know what? It's maddening sometimes because a person has to bend over backwards just to get basic, you know, diagnosis like adrenal fatigue or Addison's, right?
Well, I tell you what, it's been quite a journey.
It has been a journey, and the sad part is your mother has probably suffered needlessly because of that. And I'm not trying to blame anybody because that doesn't do a lick of good. But I bet you anything, your mother has learned a lot through this, and maybe there's some blessing in disguise, but I would rather us use our energy trying to strengthen your mama and restore her. How old is she, by the way?
She's 75.
75? How many more years can she laugh at your jokes?
Oh, my goodness. Her mom and her grandmother all lived to nearly 100. One of her uncles was 106.
Whoa, some longevity there.
My mom's on the short end of the stick right now if she keeps going the way she's going.
Well, we got to just turn her fortunes and go in a different direction.
That's right.
We got no option here. We're going to have to get your mama strong and healthy and well.
Now, would you still have her take thymus extract?
Oh, I love thymus extract. Just absolutely love the stuff.
Okay.
I mean, you know what? Everything is just a matter of what she can afford and what she's willing to do. So I'm not trying to put a strain on her, but I'm just thinking in terms of what's it going to take to get your mom in better working order. So I think these are solid recommendations, and she can always give them a shot and see what happens.
I appreciate it.
I don't think I can do any worse.
Well, you know, the worst thing that happens is things don't work.
Well, you know what? That is the worst thing that happens with nutrition, is maybe it doesn't work as well. But when you talk about drugs, oh, my word, we got a lot of side effects.
Yes. And she's got a suitcase full.
Well, bless her heart. What is her first name, by the way?
Emma.
Emma. I like it. Well, give Emma all our love.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, thank you. I hope you have a really good weekend, ma'am. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. I think we have like about 20 seconds left in the program. It's been my observation that a person decide they're going to take their health in their own hands, meaning what they think and what they say is more important than what a doctor says. You know what? I don't really have to be that smart. That's what people do that get well. But you know, we're living in a world that people will just willingly take any drug only to find that maybe down the road they failed. I realized as soon as I said that, I caught myself. Some people are taking medications that actually help them, and I understand that. You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.